Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Third in his career. Max is back. And how?
And he didn't look like he missed a beat.
That sure was a welcome sight at Nats Park on this homestand that just wrapped up yesterday. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Max Scherzer, up to his old tricks with double-digit strikeouts in 7 one-run innings of excellent baseball, needed just 100 pitches, lowering his average against well under 200 for the season. He joins us now for our exclusive segment, Every Homestand. We're on the mound with Max. Good to talk to you again. How's the neck feeling, Max?
Next feeling good. I've got that underneath control, and I got my pillow, and I'm doing my exercises, so I feel pretty good.
So after your last start, before you had to take some time off for a second time, you basically said, "Yeah, I felt it a little bit, but I pitched through it; it was fine." You're better than that now. You don't think this will be an issue for the rest of the year?
No. The way the symptoms come about here is off the field, and this has nothing to do with pitching at all. As long as I take care of my body away from the field, I'll be fine.
Good to know. Max, Giancarlo Stanton came into this series absolutely on fire. He had like a million home runs in August, and now everyone's talking about records he could set and whatever else. You punched him out a couple times, and it was a great matchup. It was must-see theater, kind of the eyes of baseball were glancing that way. What's your approach there? In other words, it's like, hey, this guy's hot. Let's pitch around him. Or is it, oh, yeah, watch this. He hasn't hit 18 home runs this month off me. How do you treat that kind of challenge?
You just know how good he is. He's obviously hot, and I've faced him before, but I also believe I can beat him. When you face somebody hot like that, you kind of trick yourself, and you have all these kind of negative thoughts, and you have the fear of the home run. And that's just not, like, how you can pitch at all at this level. You have to have the belief that you can go out there and you can have success against them, and that you have the belief that you're going to win. And so that's the kind of the secret here is when you face – the best of the best here, that you actually have to be just as aggressive with them, if not more.
Max Scherzer on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. What is your thought from the outside looking in, now that you don't have to kind of, it's not putting him on a pedestal, you don't have to face him this week, you're in Milwaukee, on the month that he's had? It's unlike anything we've seen in this clean steroid testing era. I mean, he is on pace to hit 61 home runs, which only Maris has done outside of the guys that we link to PEDs. It's fairly remarkable.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. He's an avatar. He's huge. He's 6'6", 250. My God, when you watch him hit the ball, every ball he hits is like 115 miles an hour off the bat. He's incredible. He has all the respect of everybody over here. He's a fun player to watch, and he's definitely a tough guy to face because, you leave one pitch in the middle of the zone, that ball's gone. So if anybody can appreciate what he's done over the past in the second half, I definitely appreciate what he's done. It's just fun to compete against him.
Max Scherzer with us here on Grant and Danny. Speaking of prolific home run hitters, guys that just hit tape measure bombs and are just known for raking, Steven Strasburg jumps yard yesterday. Did you guys talk? First of all, that's like little league stuff, dude. A guy throws a complete game shutout and just hits an opposite field home run. Like just go into that, reflect on that a little bit, and what were you guys saying to him?
Well, yeah, we all know Stras has unreal pop. Like for all the pitchers, he can really thump the ball. He's got awful pop. He hits those in BP all the time. Maybe not as safe for home runs, but he's going off that wall. That's so much farther than any of us. So we know how good of a hitter he can be. Plus, he's got a little hardware with the silver slugger, so we know he can handle the bat. So when you see it, that's just his day. When he goes out there and he's got a quick game shutout and he hits a bomb, that's just the icing on the cake. So what a day and what a performance by him.
You told us, we asked a couple weeks back when you were on the show, who would win a pitcher's home run derby, and you said Stras. So that came to effect yesterday. But how about runner-up? Would it be you or Gio or Roark? Who would hit the second most home runs in a derby?
Right now it'd be Edwin Jackson. I've seen his BP. Man, he can really thump the ball too. he's actually got a pretty good swing. So, I'm not a home run hitter. I don't hit home runs. I know that. So I'll probably be last on that list.
You clubbed one against the Marlins, though. I mean, let's not forget.
Yeah,
that was
I ran into one. Anybody can roll into one. In the words of Murphy, anybody can pull it.
But here's the thing, though. It's almost like you do have, I think, an incredible average with runners in scoring position. It's like not just for pitchers, for anybody. Like, I don't know the exact numbers. I was trying to find them just now while you were talking. But you put together a good AB when it matters. Is that something you take pride in, or is it just I'm having fun still?
No, you have to compete just as much as you do on the mound as in the box, especially when you do have those situations come up, because a lot of times, they're going to walk the eight-hole hitter to put you in that situation to try to face you. And you have to take that just as much as you can go out there and use that motivation to go out there and try to have a good AB and get a hit. Anytime the pitcher gets a hit, I mean, that just instantly, you add extra offense. And you flip that lineup over, and then you got the leadoff hitter going, and they always seem to have a good AB. And it always seems to get in the pitcher's head, too, when you ever give up a hit to a pitcher. So the more you can do in the box as a pitcher, the more times than not, you're going to win that ball game.
Max Scherzer, every home stand on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. You'll only hear him all season on this show, and we're pumped he's back with us this year as he's gunning for potentially a second Cy Young Award in as many seasons as one of our regulars. Max, I'm curious. The commissioner seems to have softened his stance over the last few weeks on the robotic strike zone. We had an hour-long sit-down with him. I asked him about this. He bristled at the idea of turning the strike zone over essentially to electronics and having an umpire just have word in his ear from above, whether it's a strike or a ball. What is your take on that?
I just think there's some unintended consequences that are going to come about if you were to implement electronic zone. There's different pitches that I think we've seen that would get called that would completely change the game. I mean, I think the low curveball is actually a strike based upon, some of those strike zone plots we've seen. And there's a lot more high fastballs that would be called strikes that all of a sudden, most of the time they're called balls. Now, you would clean up, obviously, some of the side-to-side stuff. So you would have an absolutely true strike zone, but a lot of things would change. I think another place where you change the game is, all right, if you don't have to frame the pitch or, try to make it look good as a catcher, if there's a runner on first base, so now you can just completely be in a – you could completely change your stance as a catcher to receive a pitch purely to be able to throw out a runner. So I think that you would be changing the game in a lot of different ways if you went to 100% automated zone. And I think that's some of the things that we – MLB would probably need to look at and think how that would change the game as a whole if we were to go down that road. So I think there's concerns, but at the same time, look, if there is a way to get a zone as a zone, we do need to look into it.
Follow-up to that would be, is the change better or worse? Like, I'd never thought about the catcher
thing. I'd never thought of that.
That's a very smart point, and that's why guys like you should be brought in and they should talk to an ace pitcher like yourself. But when you say it's a different game, no doubt. But is it for the better or for worse? I mean, I think that's a fair question.
And that's the thing that we don't know. I don't think anybody has the answer to that. I think everybody can get mad at one single call and be like, we need, robot umpires, and can get frustrated at one call because, look, they're human. You got pitches coming in at 95 miles an hour and they're missing by just, an inch, and they're trying to make that in real time. Yeah, there's going to be some missed calls. But from my vantage point as a starting pitcher, most of the time these umpires, most of the games when I leave, hey, look, I got a couple calls and I lost a couple calls. And usually I walk away feeling even. And so most starting pitchers, I would believe that they would come away with it. If you ask them, they would say, well, the umpires do actually a remarkable job of calling balls and strikes considering how difficult that task can be.
Max Scherzer with us here on Grant and Danny. Max, you guys are 34-18 over the last couple months with August, one more day left to go. Remarkable to me, given everything that's happened with all the injuries, with you missing a couple starts, with Joe Ross on the shelf, Bryce going out, whatever it is you guys have kind of kept on chugging. It's been backups, it's fill-ins, it's guys that are down on the farm. How has this happened? Is it veteran culture? Is it Dusty? Is it just kind of, people sort of next man up? How have you guys been able to maintain this with the skeleton crew at times?
look, when guys have gotten their opportunities, injuries create opportunities for other players, and it's everybody who's gotten their opportunity has taken it and run with it. I mean, look at, Michael Taylor in center field this year and how well he's played. Look at Defoe. When Trey has gone down, Defoe has played amazingly for us. Like you said, Joe has gone down, and now Edwin Jackson's gotten an opportunity, and he's taken that, really throwing some big innings for us. So everybody who's gotten an opportunity has taken it and run with it. And that's what you love, is that, you never know when opportunity knocks. You never know when you're going to get your chance to call, especially when you're trying to break into the big leagues and trying to establish yourself. And all these guys have come in and really done something.
Max Scherzer makes an impact in the community in addition to being on the mound. And I want to ask you about a couple quick charity things. First, this was pointed out to me by one of our producers. This was just tweeted out today, I believe. You and your wife, Erica, are covering all the adoption fees to help clear space for animals impacted by Hurricane Harvey. Explain what this is about.
Yeah, this is where working with HRA that a lot of the pet, there's a lot of pet displacement in Houston. And so in order to, free up facilities here and be able to take on additional animals, we need to create incentives to try to get to adopt out some animals that are already currently at the facility to try to create room to be able to bring on more animals. And so whether that's fostering or adoption, that's something that we're willing to help, facilitate any means possible that anybody that's looking to adopt to help bring this, help facilitate this so that we can help out the Houston victims and more specifically the animals that have been, devastated by this as well, because sometimes that can get forgotten as well. So it's a good, Erica does an amazing job of this. She's full deep into this. And so it's great that we've both been able to really do something to help out Houston in ways that not everybody thinks of.
And when you guys are helping out here too, it's getting closer, man. Just a couple weeks away now. Scherzer Showdown, September the 9th. Partnering with the Nats Youth Academy, which does such great work in Southeast D.C., fostering positive character development, academic achievement, and improved health from underserved communities in D.C. You can help, and you've got the Papa John's pizza special, Max.
Yeah, we keep hearing that ad in the clubhouse during the games, like the radio feed that'll come through, and everybody's kind of getting sick of it, but I definitely like to tell them, keep promoting Scherzer 31.
So what that is, real quick, is at PapaJohns.com, you get 31% off menu pizzas with the code Scherzer31, and Papa John's will donate 10% of each order directly to the Academy. That's an awesome deal.
Yep. Yeah, it's a great thing that we got going on, and I think all the fans have really responded to it and have used that, and we've raised a good deal of money to help support the YBA.
All right, before we let you go, we always ask you a fan question of the week. It's presented each week by Dulles Motor Cars. So I actually posted on Twitter that I needed a fan question of the week. I got several of them, so we'll just go rapid fire here. There's a tweet that people sent me during our interview. Are you ready to go?
Sure.
Tim wants to know, would you rather have leg-sized fingers or finger-sized legs?
I don't know.
But if you had to pick one.
I'm really not going to answer that. You guys got to come up with better questions.
All right, good. Cesar wants to know, who will be your first overall pick in a fantasy football draft?
My first overall pick would be Le'Veon Bell. But last night we had our little team draft, and at number 4, I took Julio Jones. So I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Who got the first pick?
Sean Kelly.
Of course, Sean
of
Kelly.
Of course
got
he
the
did.
First pick. Is he the defending champion? Who's the defending champ?
I think Heisey was a defending champ last year. I just know Strauss was the complete loser of the league last year. So there's more incentive, to not lose than there is to win.
Cesar wants to know, what is your curse words per game average?
My what?
Your curse words per game average.
It's up there.
Okay.
It's up there. I don't know if there's a counter for it or not. But
you need to get one of those pitch
there.
Counters and Dusty's
the ball
hand.
Strike counter, yeah.
James wants to know, what is your favorite restaurant in town?
That's a good question. I haven't really gotten out too many restaurants during the year just because most of the time because once I'm at home, I usually cook. And then when I'm on the road, that's when I go out to restaurants. So can't really answer that fully because I think I've missed a few restaurants. So talk to me next year.
We'll go with Chipotle as a default.
Yeah, still the staple.
Lastly, Troy says, your thoughts on on 3 days rest pitching in the playoffs?
Hey, at some point, there's been scenarios where it's all hands on deck. I've been there where I pitch out of the pen and pitch in relief. So sometimes it happens. And so you have to prepare yourself to be able to do that.
And then I want to give you one more chance. Tim wants to know, would you rather have leg-sized fingers or finger-sized legs?
No, I'm not answering that. Come on.
You got to
do something
that's correct.
Better than that.
Yeah, that is a pretty dumb question.
But that's Max's answer is actually correct.
I literally tweeted out, I'm like, hey, Max Scherzer's on the show at 1. He takes time out of his day to join us. Like, what do you guys want to know? And that was one of the first questions I got from someone.
We
got
to be better than that.
That's Twitter, ladies and gentlemen.
There's so much more in the world going on than that.
You're doing a great job of helping the animals in Houston and also looking forward to the Scherzer showdown for the Nats Youth Academy. Thanks so much, dude.
All right, appreciate it.
Thank you, Max.
See you, buddy. There's Max Scherzer in Milwaukee with the Nationals. Last time he pitched in Milwaukee, he almost threw a no-hitter, by the way.
It was actually a better game than the no-hitter. The Nationals would have won the game if they had no outfield, if they just played with infielders.
Struck out 16 in that game.
He was unbelievable.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, your Redskins spotlight on the defense next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.